I don't know about you, but this has been quite a week. It seems like everything that could possibly happen, happened. And I'm not sure whether I preferred the drought or all this rain, you know? I can tell you one thing, my dog will take the drought every time. But today, you get a bargain. Not just one Passover, not just two Passovers, not just three Passovers, but four Passovers. You can go to the next slide. I want to look at four different Passovers and compare them. Let's be clear from the very start that although they differ, they all are the Passover. It's a Passover from basically Exodus 12, the Deuteronomy 16 Passover, Jesus' last Passover, and the Passover that we will keep tomorrow night. Over time, the Passover has remained, but how it is observed has changed. These changes were not made by man, but by God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let us first look at column 1, which is the Exodus Passover. The Passover Exodus is unique in many ways. Obviously, it was the first Passover. You might turn to Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, there are some very detailed instructions given. These were not suggestions. These are what the people were supposed to do. This month shall be the beginning of months. It should be the first month of the year for you. We know that the Sabbath day was set at the creation, but the calendar is a different issue. Speak to all the congregations of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, not just any month, but this particular month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. The household is too small for the lamb. Let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number. According to each man's needs, you shall make your count of the lamb. The Hales would have had one lamb. I'm an only child. We had to share a lamb with the people next door. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. It's a precise description of the lamb. A lamb without blemish, a lamb that was less than a year old. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. No one is excluded, and the timing was set. Then you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Precise instructions. Not just on one, no, just put it on the front door. No, you put it here, here, and up here. Precise instructions. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread. Notice unleavened bread is part of the Passover, even the New Testament, Old Testament Passover. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. That night they ate lamb, not fish or even steak. And they are given very precise instructions on how to cook it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head and its leg and its entrails. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Everything was consumed that night. Very detailed. Notice that they were even given instructions on how to dress. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. so you shall eat it in haste. It is Israel's Passover. No, that's not what it says. It says it is the Lord's Passover. It's not the Jews' Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast of everlasting ordinance. Verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself, according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of your house until morning. According to Strong's, morning is Boker, B-O-Q-E-R. Properly, it means dawn or the breaking of the day. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and we see the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, all three places. The Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It shall come to pass when you come to the land the Lord will give you, just as he promised. You shall keep this service. And shall be when the children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. Now let us not forget, Egypt was probably not the major power on the face of the earth at that time. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Genesis 17:9. You know, it's interesting. It makes the very point that just as the Lord had commanded. You go ahead and read through the book of Judges and everything. Israel very seldom did exactly what they were told. There's a few instances which makes a point. They actually did this. This period must have been filled with tension and anticipation. Everyone was aware of what the first nine plagues that had devastated Egypt. They knew of the confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh. I never really thought about this before, but this Passover was part of the Abrahamic covenant, not Sinai. Sinai did not occur. The old covenant did not come into effect until weeks later, which is rather interesting. And put that back of your mind, and I almost want to say useless information, but obviously it isn't useless, but it's something that needs to be thought about. In order to be part of the Abrahamic covenant, the males had to be circumcised. Genesis 17:9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout your generations. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. I look at Deuteronomy 16, which is the second column. May you turn there. But this Passover is different from Exodus 12. Why? For one, the death angel did not pass over Israel every year. So obviously, that had to be different. The administration of the Passover changed, but it was still called the Passover. It was kept at the same time, but now it was a memorial of what had happened. Deuteronomy 16, observe the month of Ahab and keep the Passover again to the Lord your God. For the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flocks and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. The lamb was still sacrificed, but the location had changed. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. Now we keep unleavened bread actually for 8 days. But the unleavening for the first day of the Passover has a different meaning than it does for the other 7 days. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is the bread of affliction. For you come out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. It's interesting. It says the bread of affliction. You know, they were slaves. They didn't exactly, it always strikes me. The Israelites put out the leavening out of their house basically what we consider tomorrow. We start weeks ago looking at the list of ingredients on all these packages and stuff to see exactly what's in there, to see if any leavening has been added to it, because really, we've been blessed with so many things. The grocery stores we go to are filled with amazing assortment of stuff we can buy. And sometimes we just take it for granted. But it's an enormous blessing that God has given us. But it's still, in this sense, the same. And no leavening shall be seen among your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. Still, the same instructions as the original Passover, but now is something else is different. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you. Notice that the original Passover, they're commanded to do it in their house. Now he's saying, no, you don't do that anymore. Where did God choose to put his name? At the tabernacle. And you roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. In the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. When we get to Deuteronomy, the Passover is still being kept. How is kept? The administration of it has been changed. Notice that the Passover, pointed back to the Exodus, took all night. In the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. To repeat, the Passover is still at the same time, on the same date. The timing and the date had not changed. You might turn to Luke 21:37. If I'm not mistaken, Lud, are you looking for an announcement? Yeah. It's still up here. Yeah. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. I see them. I knew exactly what it was because I got another announcement sitting here. And I was trying to decide whether Lud had read it or not, so apparently not. So he's not the only one that can be confused. So we're in a contest. Can I get more confused than he was? We'll let you vote on it afterwards, okay? Now, I guess the question is, where in the world am I here? But the time and the date had not changed. Let us look at column 3. And let us think about something here, all right? Jesus had been keeping the Deuteronomy 16 Passover all of his life. He'd been doing it that way. But when Jesus kept the Passover that night, obviously he did not keep it in his home. Why? Because Deuteronomy 16 tells him not to do that. Did he keep it at the tabernacle? No, because the tabernacle had been replaced by the temple. Everyone went to the temple. That was the spot where God had chosen. That's where Jesus kept the Passover that night. You remember Luke 2:41, you don't have to turn there. His parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. It's talking about the incident when he is 12 years old. The tabernacle, Luke 21:37. And in the daytime, he, Jesus, was teaching in the temple. Where's the temple? At Jerusalem, obviously. But at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. I have been to Jerusalem. I've been to Jerusalem. No, but it's amazing how much it must have changed over the years. Because he spent the night on Olivet. If you've ever been there, you know it's basically covered with graves now. A lot of people have thought that if Christ is coming back when he returns to the Mount of Olives, they want to be there to greet him. No, that's literally true. That's one of the reasons they did it. Jerusalem and the Holy Land is a very interesting place. I think it was Charles Millier, when he went over there, refused to call it the Holy Land. He said it was the biblical land because there was nothing holy about the place. It's full of turmoil and anger and frustration. You got a church where I believe they have I can't remember which event it was saying. Maybe his crucifixion, but he got this church here. They built a church over the site. And they got four different denominations that argue about how to run the place. The Russian Orthodox, I think it's the Armenians, Greek Orthodox, I forget who all four was. And they get arguments. The place almost collapsed until they finally got together to agree that they needed to repair the place, because the Israeli government said you have to do something, are going to be forced to condemn it because it's going to collapse. So they finally agreed to do repairs on the church. So they don't have any peace virtually anywhere. And then, early in the morning, all the people came to him, where? In the temple, to hear him. Chapter 22. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover. Now people get confused about the word Passover. It can mean any number of things. Here it calls the Feast of Unleavened Bread the Passover. They called the lamb the Passover. They called the ceremony the Passover. They called that, actually, the all 8 days the Passover. And Jesus Christ is a real, true Passover himself. The New Living Translation says, the Festival of Unleavened Bread, which is also called the Passover. The NIV says, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, called the Passover, was approaching. Back to New King James Version. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who is numbered among the 12. Now let us never forget that this Passover had a spiritual dimension to it. Satan recognized its significance, probably far better than the apostles did, and so do we, because God tells us exactly the significance of it. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains about how to betray him to them. This whole night is filled with hypocrisy. People saying one thing, doing something else. These are supposed to be the leaders that were supposed to point in the thing to the Messiah and everything. Yet they did everything they could to prevent him, to no avail, from doing what he was sent to do. God the Father and Jesus Christ are in charge, and they will do what they want to do when they want to do it, despite what man tries to do. So he went his way and conferred Judas and conferred with the chief priests and captains that he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and saw opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. They had to do it behind as sneakily as possible because they were scared of the people. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be clear. For us, we clearly differentiate between the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. But like I said before, in the Bible, the terms are used somewhat interchangeably. And you see it, Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover. What Jesus was keeping that night was the Passover for us that we may eat. And they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house which he entered. This must have been set up weeks before, because they estimate that Jerusalem, which was a fair sized city for that day, could have had over 1 million visitors, all coming there, and the place was full of lambs. All were going to be killed right before the Passover. And it all could not be done at the temple. It was physically impossible. Then they shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Obviously, the master of the house knew who the teacher was. Then he shall show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. And they went and found it just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. What does that mean, to prepare the Passover? They had to kill the Passover lamb, and they had to cook it, just like the instructions were from Deuteronomy 16. And when the hour had come, he sat down and his 12 disciples with him. There was a specific time that Jesus and the disciples kept the Passover. Jesus kept the Deuteronomy 16 Passover, but then he did something different. Now, let me just refer to this. You might put it in your notes. Mark 1:22 tells us something very important. And they, the people that Jesus was talking to, were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus Christ had authority. The changes he's about to make, he had the authority to make. All right? Man doesn't. Every time man has changed things, they substituted the Easter for Passover. They instituted Christmas and the observance of his birth, when we're never told to do that. They have further pulled the worldly Christianity away from the plan of God. You can only understand the plan of God if you keep the Passover when God says to keep the Passover, and you keep the other holy days, then God will reveal you his plan of salvation. But you deviate from that just a little, you can go off track. The truth is found in the Bible. Now, you can use a lot of things in the world. There's a lot of information out there. But spiritual understanding comes from the Bible. Nowhere else. Verse 19. Then he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." No longer pointing back to the Passover and Exodus. The Passover and Exodus pointed, even though they didn't know it at the time, to the Passover that was going to be happening right here. The Passover that we keep. It was a type and antitype. And the antitype, Jesus' sacrifice, far exceeds the original. But it was extremely important to the people at the time in Exodus 12. Likewise, he also took the cup up after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." We do not keep the Passover in observance of the Exodus, but in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice. You might turn to 1 Corinthians 5:7. I'm going to start comparing the Jesus Passover and the Passover that we keep. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." 1 Corinthians 11:23. Jesus Christ is our Passover. This is the instructions Paul gave to a Gentile church. I've been listening to all the Bible studies that were given in 2014 on the Passover out of Cincinnati, and made an interesting observation in that, I believe it was Mr. Petty, that for this, what we're going here, because Paul was talking to a Gentile church, all right, to really make this make any sense to them, they had to understand the Old Testament. Otherwise, what he's talking about in the Old Testament Passover and everything would have made no sense to them whatsoever. But since it did, it shows clearly the Old Testament was never done away with and still applicable to us today. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." What night was Jesus betrayed? Passover night. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup of the new covenant in my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The focus of the Passover has changed. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Verse 17. Yep, we're going back up. Going back. "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for better, but for worse." First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. That's why we now keep the Passover together as a congregation and not by ourselves at home. There are reasons why people have to keep the Passover at home, but these are the exceptions. Normally, we keep them together as a congregation. Think about it. How could anyone wash anybody else's feet? We all did the Passover at home. It would obviously be physically impossible. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So what does the church do? They keep the Lord's Supper. Exactly contrary. For in eating and eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. I can't wait to thank the people of Corinth because they gave us some wonderful bad examples that we can avoid. You know, what's the old saying? When all else fails, you can always serve as a bad example. Well, we learned a lot from what the Corinthians had to be corrected to make things they did things right. And to the Corinthians' benefit, they grew from what they were told. They changed, and they grew spiritually. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Notice how different this is from the Deuteronomy 16. Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I will not praise you. Let's put it this way, all right? The symbols and the bread and wine was not an addition to the lamb, but they replaced it. Otherwise, we'd still be keeping the first part of the Passover as memorial to physical Israel being passed over, and the second part in remembrance of Jesus' death. Paul said no. Jesus' sacrifice was far more important than the Exodus Passover. And the Exodus Passover was important, but just a matter of degree. We're talking here about not delivery from physical Egypt, from physical slavery, but spiritual slavery to the God of this world. There were two things that was different in the Passover Jesus kept. One was an addition. You may go to slide 3. And that is the foot washing. Again, until I listen to those, and I'm mentioning the foot washing here. They did one complete hour-long Bible study on the foot washing out of Cincinnati. So obviously all I can do is refer to it here. But until I listen to the Wednesday night Bible study on foot washing, and this is a couple years older now, I thought that what Jesus did that night was acting as a servant. But when you read the people prior to that night, clear back to the time of Abraham, servants did not wash people's feet. They provided water so people could wash their own feet. Let me read to you just a couple of scriptures. Genesis 18:1. This is where the Lord comes down and visits Abraham about the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham sees them, comes to say, and one of the things he says, Lord, have I found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant, but let a little water be brought and wash your feet. He wanted to give water so the Lord God, the Old Testament, could wash his own feet. Now you go into the New Testament. Remember the time when the woman washed Christ's feet with her tears and dried it with her hair? And he told the the man, he'd gone to a Pharisee's house, I believe it was, and he said, turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave no water for my feet. So even at this point, the people, the servants, weren't washing the feet. They were providing water, and people were washing their own feet. Gives you a little bit more of understanding why Peter was so taken aback by Christ's example. There is a real significance in humility that we need to meditate on before we actually do it tomorrow night. Hebrews 10:16. Circumcision also changed. It is no longer a physical circumcision, but is now a spiritual one. It's kind of interesting because in the Old Testament, circumcision was obviously only the male child. In the New Testament, the spiritual circumcision, everybody is involved, male and female. Everyone has to be spiritually circumcised. And it's Hebrews 10:16. This is covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. This is one of the reasons, because in the Old Testament it required to be physically circumcised. In the New Testament, you had to be spiritually circumcised, that only baptized people should take the Passover. God has a procedure. You find out about the Sabbath, the holy days. You repent of not keeping them. Then you're baptized. Then you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the order that it's given in. But like they said in the announcement, people can come, teenagers and young adults can come and observe the Passover. They should not partake of it. Slide number 4. 1 Peter 1:18. At the Passover, the lamb was selected on the 10th day of the month. Jesus Christ is their Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:17 refers to Jesus as our Passover, which was sacrificed for us. Christ is also often referred to as the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing this, that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, but as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifested in these last times for you. Now think about that, brethren. When was the Lamb in Exodus and Deuteronomy selected? On the 10th of the month. When was the Lamb, our Lamb, Jesus Christ, selected to be the Lamb of God? Let me read to you 11, verse 20. But he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Our Lamb, Jesus Christ, was actually selected millennia before the Passover Lamb of Exodus. Again, it refers in Revelation 13:8, talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now you understand why he takes precedence over the Lamb that was sacrificed. The Lamb, even though they didn't realize it at the time, pointed towards Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's sacrifice does not point back to Exodus, but the other way around. There is something else too, brethren. You can see it at the very bottom of the page. something that did not occur in the prior Passovers, and that was Jesus was tortured. The lambs, you might turn to Isaiah 52:14. Lambs were killed for the Passover, but they were killed, but never tortured. The Jews had it down to a science. The lambs died instantly. There is no type in the Old Testament of something being tortured. It's against God's nature. But Isaiah 52:14, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. We can be affected by this world. We see the picture of Christ on the cross with a little trickle of blood coming down his side. That's not like it was. He was unrecognizable, almost as a human being. That's what he went through. So when we take the Passover tomorrow night, let us think about that. When we take the bread, it should be far more significant to us every year, every time that we take it. If you have a strong stomach, you can watch Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. I saw it on a list of movies that people should see at least once, but probably never wanted to see again. If you've ever seen the movie, you'll know why, because it shows how Jesus was being treated. I'm not recommending you see it, but like I said, you have to have a strong stomach. And I would suggest that you turn off the things down at the bottom that tells you what they're saying, and forget about the fact that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is dressed like a mother superior. You got to remember that Mel Gibson is not a Roman Catholic. He's to the right of the Roman Catholic Church. They believe in the thing a certain way, but he did an excellent job of portraying what went on that night. I have seen it. I don't think I've been debating it. I don't think I want to see it again. Sorry. Hebrews 7:26. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. Jesus is a kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. He sits at the right throne of God the Father. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made a perfect high priest forever. Now, think about that. The high priest that we have did not make a sacrifice of an animal. He gave himself as a sacrifice. The Lord God, the Old Testament, the one that gave the Passover to ancient Israelites, is the same one that died for their sins millennia after that event. We have to be careful that our view of the Passover is not limited. Jesus' Passover lasted all day. He kept the Deuteronomy 16 Passover just as he had done all his life. He instituted foot washing. He changed the Passover lamb to bread and wine. He went out and he prayed three times, up to an hour each time. He was betrayed by one of his own followers. He was tortured, ridiculed, and taunted. And he was crucified and slowly bled to death. This took hours. Our Passover service in remembrance of him takes 1 to 2 hours. Brothers, remember, after the service is over on Monday and throughout that day, what Jesus suffered. Sin is a serious business. It takes a lot to pay that price. There is only two ways that it can be paid for, brethren, our sins. Our own death for all eternity, or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There is no other. I'm glad that we live in the time. Let me reread Hebrews 10:16. This is a covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. This is an enormous blessing you and I have. We don't need to take it lightly. We need to realize fully what is going on, what Jesus Christ is telling us, what the Bible is telling us about how important the Passover is. So we got just one more day to think about it, and then we'll be back tomorrow night for the Passover.